It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Where do the LA Lakers go from here? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. It was stunning news yesterday, Pearl, although you kind of called it. You thought maybe Dan Hurley would spurn the Los Angeles Lakers to go back to UConn. That's exactly what happened. He will remain in college basketball. So that leaves this sort of big gaping hole here for Los Angeles. And they still have a head coach to hire. They still have LeBron James with a big decision to make about whether he's going to opt into $50 million contract for this year or whether he would opt out. There's the draft is coming up. Free agency is coming up. Will they actually take Bronny James? Are they going to go star hunting? Are they just going to try to do small things to upgrade the current roster? It is a just quagmire of questions and different paths that the Lakers could take. And maybe the most important question, LeBron James and the head coach are still TBD.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have that much to spend on their head coach either. They got to sort of bargain on.
Apparently, they're bargain shopping. TJ Maxx shopping for head coach.
They offered Dan Hurley 6 years, $70 million. So they have some first-round picks. You know who has a great column on this is our buddy Bill Ryder, who comes on after us on Infinity Sports Network. He had a good point. If you're looking at J.J. Redick on one hand, a guy who's never coached at any level and is in the booth, and you're looking at Dan Hurley, a two-time college basketball champion, there's no common ground there. So your coach is basically, coaching search is scattershot. You just look like you have no idea what the plan is here. And there really is no indication that the Lakers have a plan. Like you said, look at LeBron is up in the air, whether they're going to go after someone is up in the air, whether Bronny. It doesn't seem, because of this Dan Hurley situation, that they have a consistent, thought-through, analytical plan on how we're going to get back to a title. It feels like they're going moment by moment.
You know, you sometimes accuse me of being like a little bit of a conspiracy theorist, and I never really take things at face value, and I'm always wondering who's got the power and who's wielding it behind the scenes. The one part of this Dan Hurley thing that we haven't really touched on yet, because it happened after our show yesterday, is what's LeBron's role in all of this? Because, again, I will not take at face value LeBron not being involved in the coaching search. It just feels very naive to me to think that. And I would think that if LeBron really wanted Dan Hurley, does that sway the coach to say, listen, I want you. You know, I'm going to make this work. I will, whatever you need, I'll be the first lieutenant. Whatever he's going to say, I would have thought LeBron's, like, endorsement, if he was giving an endorsement, would have carried weight. And so the fact that Hurley has decided to go back to UConn, I question where LeBron is in all this. Like, does LeBron actually want J.J. Redick, as people have theorized, because they are podcast partners? Is there another candidate that we're not even aware of yet? Because, again, I know you think that I'm always, like, looking and lurking in the shadows here, but LeBron's not in the shadow. He's not in the corner. He's a massive figure at the center of this franchise, and we don't know which way he's leaning.
Well, I think you have an interesting point. What if LeBron had called Danny Hurley and said, I like the way you worded it. We're going to make this work. I'm really into this. Let's do this. I think that would be very influential. I got to tell you, if I'm Danny Hurley and LeBron calls me and says, we're going to make this work, that would sway me. That would sway me.
Yeah.
But I have a sense that he did not get directly involved in this. Maybe he wants, like, the Godfather. You know, he wants to keep some distance, have his minions, have his agent, Rich Paul, negotiate this. So I'm going to say, based on the result, that LeBron did not necessarily want or not want this to happen. Because if he had really wanted to happen, I think you're onto something. He might have been able to make it happen.
There's another part of this. We're talking about the Lakers get spurned by Dan Hurley yesterday. He goes back to UConn and how much the Lakers look embarrassed here, right? And it's not forever. They're not going to be embarrassed forever. They're going to find a coach and it will either work or it won't work. But LeBron also looks bad here by extension, doesn't he? Because...
Nah, I don't know. I think like LeBron has... You know, he can keep a little distance from this.
Yeah, and again, I don't buy that. So, like, if you're turning down the Lakers right now, yeah, it's not just LeBron, but that's a part of it. That's a coach saying no thanks to either the greatest or second greatest player in the history of the NBA, no matter when you get him in his career. You know, like, there's something here, and I'm not exactly sure what, but I can't get off of this. Like, how is LeBron in any way influencing this coaching decision? And even if he's trying to be hands off, which I don't believe, but to say he is, how does that influence the coaching? Is that hurting the Lakers' ability to land a big time head coach? Because shouldn't they all feel a little more like all in this together, especially if the Lakers actually are going to draft Bronny? I mean, do you not owe them anything? I don't know. I would think that their star player would want to, be a little bit more involved on who's the coach who's going to potentially be coaching his son, let alone himself. And yeah, we don't have the answer to that.
No, I mean, again, I still don't understand the money thing. So LeBron probably, he's making a decision whether he wants to opt in, right?
Yep.
For 50?
50, yeah.
So, I mean, listen, the Lakers are the most valuable franchise in the NBA. Yep. Why? He has to call them, and if he really wanted Dan Hurley, say, why couldn't you make a bigger offer? Like, I don't understand. That's why I think there's a disconnect. I don't think LeBron is really pulling the strings here. It seems like an accountant in the Lakers front office is pulling the strings.
He's like got a pencil behind his ear. He's just like, we can't make the budget this week.
Yeah, it's just they are the Lakers. Their offer should blow everybody out of the door. And if they don't, then I wonder if LeBron is like, wow, maybe LeBron is considering not coming back to the Lakers. Is that possible?
You know, sometimes it's always the richest people who are oddly the cheapest. You know, I don't think Jerry Jones is playing Mike McCarthy more than any other coach in the NFL. I know the Yankees aren't paying Aaron Boone more than any other manager. Sometimes it's the teams that you think who would have no excuse to spend are the ones who end up being the cheap ones.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading last night about how they really tried to shortchange Ty Lue. They lost him out, like, lowballed him crazy, half the offer that Ty Lue ended up. Like, that doesn't make any sense. I was like, and Jim Harbaugh, will you give me that there's some analogy with Jim Harbaugh, who came from the defending champion Michigan Wolverines to the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, I understand Harbaugh had NFL experience, unlike Hurley. Big deal.
Majorly proven.
But he's making
Super Bowl.
He's making $16 million a year. He like doubled his Michigan salary. So
took a couple tries, though. You know, Harbaugh really had to find the right thing because been out there with the Minnesota Vikings and maybe the Raiders and maybe the Bears.
After the title, though, he was the hottest thing.
Yes.
Everybody wanted him after the title. You want him as a Bills coach, and rightly so.
100 times out of 100.
Yeah, but he did have that proven. He made a Super Bowl in the NFL. Big difference. But still, like, you should be able to really blow a college offer out of the water, especially college basketball. Those guys, I mean, just, like, make it so ridiculous that he almost doesn't have a choice.
Okay, but I'll ask you this question. We're talking about Dan Hurley's going back to UConn. He's not taking the Laker job. We're unpacking this because the whole thing's a little weird. Jim Harbaugh comes in and he is the most powerful person in the organization now.
Right.
And Justin Herbert, I think, is totally willing to let Jim Harbaugh be the most powerful person because Brandon Staley was a joke. And this is important. The coach is never going to, when you're coaching LeBron James, you're never going to be the most important person, even if you're Dan Hurley.
Right, right.
Different power dynamic.
Different, totally different. Yep. Justin Herbert's 26, right? He needs a coach like that. But I do think the smart team would look big picture here and be like, Danny, you know, LeBron's 40. We need to coach everybody else too. I would hope that they're not making a decision only because of LeBron. If you're just getting LeBron's guy in, how many years is that going to be? How many years can he stay healthy and productive?
Well, that's
not many more.
We were sold. This is for now and for the future.
Yeah,
this is to win now and for the future.
It was the perfect fit because it was short term and long term, and they should have offered more.
Well, if you want some free advice, if you're the Lakers, I know where they should turn to now.
Who's that?
It's been out there a little bit. Mark Stein, most notably. I talked to another NBA scout yesterday who also reinforced this to me. Jay Wright. Pete, I know you'll love this. Jay Wright, has been in broadcasting now for 2 years. Obviously, the former Villanova coach who's been a champion many times. And Jay Wright's 62. He's not old by coaching standards at all.
Not at all.
And I'm going to try to say this delicately here because I really like Jay Wright. He's been nice to me throughout my career. I think that he's a great coach. He hasn't really landed in the media landscape with like the explosion of like a Barkley or whatever. He hasn't become like this media darling. We basically see him for a couple weeks during the tournament when it's frenetic anyway. That studio show gets overshadowed by Barkley and Kenny Smith anyway. And Jay Wright kind of, he's fine, but he hasn't really been gangbusters when it comes to media. If he's feeling refreshed or he wants a new challenge, this is a great way for the Lakers to save face. You get the win now and in the future thing that you would have gotten with Hurley. You get Bronny's development, because I think that actually is important, or the young guys, because he has that college like bedrock. And look at with the Knicks. Look at these Villanova Knicks that just have, these guys play the right way. They have the right attitude, all that stuff. And Jay Wright was like the architect of all of this. So I think Jay Wright's stock is super high right now. Even though he's been away from coaching for 2 years.
Yeah, but isn't the storyline with Jay Wright is he doesn't want any of these jobs? Like, he's turned down every college offer.
Well, maybe college. I wouldn't want to get into college right now either.
And he's turned down every NBA offer in the past.
Well, just the Knicks and the 76ers, and these two franchises in history have not been like the beacon of stability. Not that the Lakers are either, but it's something with the Sixers, and it's always something with the Knicks.
Really? I feel like those are two pretty good jobs. No. I mean, they're not the Cavs and the Pistons.
Okay, that's fine. But
I mean,
the Lakers and coaching LeBron, I think Jay Wright would be up for that.
I don't know. I'm a little skeptical because he's turned out everything else. I just feel like this would be the place where he'd jump back in. It just feels odd. Like, why would Jay Wright want to take this on if he doesn't want to take on Kentucky? Like,
did he get offered that job?
Well, of course he did. I'm sure. I'm sure every opening in college basketball, Jay Wright's your first call.
Maybe he was done with college.
Well, that's what I think, too. I think he didn't want to do NIL anymore. I think it's, you know, you never get a minute to get a breath because you're constantly recruiting your own roster and everyone else's roster. And I think college, there's a reason why coaches are saying no thanks to the college.
But I feel like there must have been. And by the way, that's the two NBA offers we know. Like, his agent could have been out there shopping. I mean, he probably could have. Maybe the Lakers pulls him out. My hunch is that there's a reason he doesn't want to coach anymore, and this is a hard place to jump back in. Like this, and Danny Hurley probably thought the same thing. Like, ooh, this is my entree to the NBA. It's very complicated. These are huge expectations and a flawed roster. LeBron's 40. I don't know. Maybe Jay Wright short-term does this. It feels like this is not ideal for him. But I like the hire from the Lakers standpoint. You're right.
Yeah.
His guys play hard. I like this idea of having a college coach come in. But from Jay Wright's standpoint, he just seems to say no to everything.
Yeah, maybe. But again, timing. Maybe you get the itch again. It's not college. And the other part about why I think Jay Wright would be a good candidate now for the Lakers to pivot to, and Mark Stein has reported this again, and I talked to one person yesterday who also reinforced this, that Jay Wright would be the person to keep an eye on. And I think that it's Jay Wright's legacy is set. Like, we've talked about, can the Lakers job really hurt you if you get fired from it? Are people all of a sudden going to be looking at you differently? Jay Wright, no one's going to look at that and say, man, Jay Wright really failed there. They're going to say the Lakers failed. No, I think Jay Wright's reputation is so solid that it would be Teflon. Like, if it doesn't work in LA, I don't think that this sticks with him. Like, wow, what a failure of a coach. He'll just say, no, it's Jay Wright. Couldn't make it happen, or the Lakers failed him, or whatever.
I totally agree with that, right? It's a little different. Danny Hurley's younger. Feels like Danny Hurley's on the ascent, where Jay Wright's already done what he needs to do. Like, it'd be kind of an emeritus position.
Well, this is why I wanted Coach K to be the Lakers coach when he retired from Duke, and I thought that could be a good emeritus position for Coach K, but
yeah,
he didn't take it.
You got to look at it from the Lakers standpoint. With Coach K was even a decade older than Jay Wright.
That's true.
Yeah, I think it gets back to, like, what's the future of the Lakers? What's their game plan here? Even Jay Wright feels a little haphazard.
Well, I mean, he could coach that team for the next 6 years, you know?
He could. Will he? I don't know.
855-212-4227. So that's what's going on right now. We're asking you, A, will Danny Hurley regret this decision of not coaching the Lakers? And two, who should be their next head coach? 855-212-4227. Mention Danny Hurley, not the only coaching news out there. Somebody in the NFL got a contract extension yesterday. Is the fan base going to be happy or are they going to be mad? We'll tell you next. Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Breaking down the Dan Hurley saying no to the Lakers. Isn't it funny? This is the most exciting part of the NBA coaching carousel is a college coach saying no. I can't even really remember who the other coach is. The Hornets hired Charles Lee. I don't remember. Well, there were some other Budenholzers going to the Suns, and that will fail 100% of the time. It's just so interesting, both from the college angle and the Lakers angle. We just see it totally differently. I think the offer was so underwhelming that Danny Hurley easily flew back from L.A. and said, you know, that was nice. You know, the weather was great. That was a cool restaurant they took me to. But 6 years, $70 million? What? I can't. I've been reading more about this. Like, the Monty Williams negotiation with Detroit? That's Detroit. Like, that's Monty Williams. Like, they should have blown him out of the water with a contract. You think this is all just him using it, the Lakers, to get more out of UConn? You know why I think you're wrong? Next year, I think Danny Hurley will take an NBA job, and it's going to be twice as much as the Lakers offered. I think he gets double the amount.
Well, maybe, but he was literally in active negotiations with UConn when suddenly he got really interested in the Laker job. And so it's like, I didn't know that information last week that they were in a contract negotiation with his employer. And this is just an easy way to kind of play one against the other. I guess like $70 million for somebody who has no NBA experience to me was not an insult. Like, Monty Williams at least had been to a finals, you know, in the NBA. I know they lost, the Phoenix Suns did, to Milwaukee, but he still was like, had proven it on that NBA level where Hurley would have been an adjustment period, no doubt. But again, where's LeBron in all of this is a big question that is still out there.
He's like, not involved at all.
Yeah, well, sure. Why wouldn't LeBron be involved?
Because I don't know. The Lakers.
Is this for me?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Pearl.
Yeah, because the Lakers obviously have a different way of doing this. Obviously, like LeBron. I'll tell you, this is what's going to happen. Danny Hurley will go back. He'll get a raise from UConn. Then he's going to get offered somewhere $140 million next year. And LeBron has nothing to do with this coach hire because, like, he would not cheap out like this.
Well, yeah, I don't know where LeBron is all this. And I'm sorry to interrupt you there. I was distracted because Pete has paid off his penance today.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for the iced coffee from Dunkin'. Sounds delicious. We all guessed what time the news would break, and Pete was furthest from the hole. So you had to buy breakfast this
morning. I used the Price is Right theory, and I should not have.
Didn't work out. What did everybody order?
I had a turkey sausage, sandwich, and so did Bogus.
Pearl, what'd you get?
I took it easy on Pete. I got nothing.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Interesting strategy.
Yeah, we're a far cry from a salmon tower.
That's right.
No, believe me, if I had lost him. No, Perloff, you didn't want anything? Nothing?
From Dunkin', nah, I'm good.
All right. Well, thank you, Pete. Ryan, what'd you get?
Nothing. I wasn't here, so I don't feel obligated.
Fair.
I offered to everybody. Colton, everybody.
All right.
Yeah, in the end, if you're going to lose, yesterday was the day to lose because you just spent like $9.
And you got all the rewards points.
Right, exactly. And you got yourself an iced tea that I got for you. Everybody wins.
Daly's in the chat says, I think Maggie needs a bigger iced coffee. This thing is the size of my arm. So thank you for that. I will be running home after the show.
A lot of conspiracy docs to watch later.
I don't need to
stay wired.
Yeah, I don't need a car when I'm going home later. I'm just going to jog it. It's about 40 miles. Bogues, what do you have for headlines for us? Dan Hurley, not the only thing going on today.
No, we've got the Florida Panthers. They are halfway to the Stanley Cup, despite trailing for the first half of Game 2 of the Oilers last night.
Looked to play it on Nick, couldn't get it through. Another try, a shot, he scores! Evan Rodriguez let it rip, and he beats Skinner short side. The Panthers have their first lead of the night. It's 2-1! What a laser of a wrist shot that was!
Doug Plagans on Panthers Radio. Evan Rodriguez scoring at 3:11 of the third period to break a 1-1 tie. Yet at a power play goal 9 minutes later, Florida topping Edmonton 4-1 for a 2-0 series lead. The Oilers have only once recovered from an 0-2 hole in team history. Connor McDavid just one assist through these two games.
We can be better for sure. I thought they went up a level and we didn't match it today.
Game 3 in Edmonton on Thursday night. The big question between now and then is the health of Panthers captain Alexander Barkov. He took a hit to the head from Leon Draisaitl midway through the third period last night. Did it not return? Draisaitl got a minor penalty for the possible
elbow. Yeah, that was
elbow.
Cheap.
Definitely a heavy hit, for sure, and not the right target. Elbow to cheek.
I mean, it's so desperate. And Draisaitl's awesome, but that was such a desperate move, and it should have been a major.
The game was nasty last night. It was a knee-on-knee hit. A guy got ejected in the first period. There's a lot going on in this one, but the Panthers, again, get the win 4-1 and the 2-0 series lead. The Baltimore Orioles making quick work of their first-ever four-game sweep in Tampa Bay.
Henderson in left side of the game's first pitch is belted. Deep center field, going back is Jose Siri at the track. He is out of room! First pitch, leadoff homer for Gunnar Henderson! How about you, Gunnar?
All of that from Orioles Radio. 21st long ball of the season for Henderson. It starts Baltimore towards a 5-2 win and that four-game sweep. The Rays have now dropped 13 of their last 17 at home. The Yankees got a 4-2 win in Kansas City, while the A's lost in San Diego 6-1. Oakland's dropped 9 of 12 to fall a season-worst 12 games under 500. NC State beat Georgia 8-5 to claim the last of 8 spots in the Men's College World Series. It's the fourth time they're going to Omaha, the fourth ACC school going right now.
Hey, I have a question for you guys. You guys were so into the college softball. I'm not getting as many texts from you and hearing as much water cooler talk about the baseball.
Softball is everything. Baseball is interesting. I like it. I watched the Clemson game, that controversial Clemson game. But women's softball is just like, the product is visually so awesome that they're on top of each other. I don't know. The game seems faster, more happens.
The game's definitely faster, but Clemson, Florida on Sunday was one of the best games, craziest games I've seen in a long time. The game was bonkers.
What was that against? I kept playing. I was against a Memorial or something, or was that at night?
No, it was like later afternoon, like crossing dinner time, I feel like.
But there's something, I always talk to our buddy Jimmy Train at SI about this. There's something magical about softball on TV. I don't know. Like, I like playing softball too. It's like, I can see myself out there.
You think that's relatable? Like, you could do that?
Yeah, I definitely could do that. I mean, the pitch is coming in pretty fast, but.
You think?
I don't know. I think I could hit 200 in the smaller conference.
We had our last coaching my daughter's team last night, 12 and 13-year-olds, and I was like, oh, this is my last chance to ask Sam, who's our best pitcher, if I could stand in one time because she throws BBs. And again, she's 13, but I don't know that I could touch it.
She throws like they do on TV?
I mean,
the windmill thing or just underhand?
Oh, no, the windmill thing. Wow. Like she and they're shin high. She's got a change up that she throws like with her like backhanded, like her finger.
At 13, she could do all that?
Yeah, I mean, it's you're doing it all naturally. But yeah, she's talented. And I want to get in the box once, but I don't know. I don't want to look foolish at 44 versus 13.
So you never asked her if you could stand in?
No, and it dawned on me last night, like, this is the last time we're all going to be together. She's serious. She's a serious player, so she's got a whole warm-up routine. And I'm like, so in any other time, now it's a big ass to get her to loosen up and then pitch to me. Last night was the time, and I couldn't do it.
Don't want to disrupt her routine.
Exactly.
What's her ERA? Does anyone hit her, or is she like unhittable?
No, she's not unhittable. We don't keep elaborate stats like that. But, I mean, she pitched. She got like the last 8 or 9 batters out that she faced last night. Like, boom, boom, boom.
Because I've seen your son's team play, and I got to tell you right now, you could hit 400.
You had to go
league.
There, huh?
I'm just saying.
So mean.
Just saying, just hit it to left field.
I'm going to have to go to a swim meet soon so I get some fresh material on the Perloff girls.
I invite you all the time. She's got a meet in 2 weeks.
You weren't at all a little concerned that if you stood in the batter's box against this 13-year-old, you might hit it back at her, and that might be something.
No.
She's got the face mask on, so that's the initial. But she's also, I think she can handle herself on the mound. I mean, every once in a while, do hit the ball back
but
through.
But not a comebacker from a middle-aged man.
It's way more likely that Bogus would strike out than hit a line drive up the middle. Like, that's funny you said that. That was the last concern in that story, that she was going to hurt her.
Is her safety.
Yeah, that never even
dawned on her. My hamstring, a rotator cuff, yeah.
That's where you drop a bunt.
Well, not you.
Yeah, bunt down.
Dead, slap hitting.
Dead on the grass. So there you go. You got a base hit.
What does it do for team morale if she strikes you out, though? That could be great. She'd be like a hero.
Oh, yeah. And that would be my story after the fact. She did it for motivation.
She'd definitely strike you out. Right?
And that's the
that's where I was getting
the likelihood
from
is me not doing well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to take, I'd like to at least make contact.
I've been there before. I once got beaten in tennis by an 8-year-old, and it happened. I was 16, he was 8, and he beat me. And it was a lot to handle that day. He lived at a tennis academy, so I say that to make myself feel better.
He's Andre Agassi.
That dude couldn't miss.
Last name Sampras.
You couldn't freaking miss. Is it Carlos Alcaraz? No. It was some like twerp from Connecticut. He was good though. Damn good.
Ageless tight end Mercedes Lewis has re-signed with the Bears for a 19th season. He just turned 40 in May. He is the second oldest player in the NFL behind Aaron Rodgers. And finally, a lot of people want to get in Tom Brady's pants, and now somebody can. The pants that Brady wore at his final NFL game, the Bucs' wildcard loss to the Cowboys in January 2023, just sold at auction for $89,000.
Oh, get a life if you bought Chum that change. For $89,000.
Is it Nikki Glaser?
That was my first thought.
You were going with this from the roast. $89,000 for the game-worn pants.
For pewter, 34-waist pewter Bucks pants that Brady wore in his last game.
Yeah, Robert Kraft definitely bought them and put them in the Patriots Hall of
Fame. That was a loss to the Dallas Cowboys, right?
Correct.
That's a lot. And you only get the pants. That's it?
Not the man. I don't know if they've been cleaned since. I don't know if there's still, you know, the essence of Brady is still lingering in the fabric. I don't know.
But you don't get the jersey. You don't get the pads. You just the pants.
Just the pants. That's a weird thing to put on display. Pants.
Kind of.
Like in your man cave in like some kind of weird frame, there's just pants hanging there.
And you think you could get like a helmet or a jersey for $90,000.
I mean, if the pants are 90, a jersey's got to get easy into six figures, right?
I guess so, but there's not, he played for 22 years. There's not a helmet lying around somewhere, a jersey when he beat the Bills 50-0 that someone might be able to get cheaper.
I'll bet my house to say that Giselle didn't buy him.
She's holding it hostage.
She's got a whole treasure trove of things that she's just sitting on. She's going to sell one day.
Yeah. She's probably got some stories.
Should do it right when he starts his first game as an analyst.
By the way, other Brady news. Did you see that tomorrow they're retiring his number at Foxborough?
Yeah. I don't understand the timing at all.
Tomorrow. Apparently it was scheduling conflicts all over the place because he's going to be calling games this year. So he's not going to have a weekend free during the season. Mm. You have the New England Revolution who have some weekend games that was going to make it hard to hold the ceremony.
The Revs are messing this up?
I think saw that.
Why couldn't, I don't understand. Why couldn't he go, they don't have any primetime games or off Sunday games or something? Well, he's got to do every Sunday for Fox.
So they make like a whole weekend out of it, or it's a couple day event. They have over 200 players who are coming in to attend it, and they didn't want to rush it, I guess, or whatever, and they wanted to have like enough time to kind of him.
Can I jump in for a second? What I'm reading is that he's going to the Patriot Hall of Fame tomorrow.
Hall of Fame. Are they not retiring the number?
Yeah, but I think they're going to do that at a game. I think Perloff's guess is probably right, a primetime non-Sunday game, but tomorrow's Hall of Fame.
Oh, sorry. Okay,
but do they have a primetime game, though? They might not have it.
That's a great question.
Could they do it the same
maybe
time?
Maybe one.
Not if you want to milk it, Ryan. If you want to milk it, you gotta.
So do it in the off season.
Well, that's what they're doing.
Oh.
But it's tomorrow.
No, I'm saying, so their logic is to do it in the off season.
Nobody cares.
So I think they also wanted to do it before people take a break. I think Patriots OTAs start today, or minicamp, excuse me. Mandatory minicamp starts today, right? I saw the news that Drake May was looking really good yesterday. And so they want to get this done before Patriots staffers get to take a break before training.
This is such a Patriots move right here. This is clearly just milking it and just no one doing it in the off season. I mean, do it like Ryan said, do it together, do it all once. Well, I don't know why you need to separate them, and it just makes no sense to me, but it's a typical Patriots move.
I mean, Pete, the Patriots are going to win like four games this year. They need reasons for people to show up.
Twice during the season.
We can't because he's broadcasting this year.
Oh, yeah. He could take a day off.
He's going to be in Cleveland. He's going to be in L.A.
I'm sure he's
in Dallas.
I'm sure he's able to take a day off.
But by the way, I guess we have the schedule. Is he going to do a Pats game? That would be super interesting.
Right. Do it that day.
I feel like we would have known that.
I'm sure we could check that. I mean, it does seem like, I know that they changed the CBS and Fox relationship with the conferences, but they do, yeah, they could make that happen. They got to bring them to New England once.
Got to, right?
All right, we'll check that. And also, there's a lot of flex on the second half of the season. But you can't plan a jersey retirement during a flex week. Like, hope that they're going to flex into that.
Again, I don't think this is a bad job by the Patriots. I think they were really just trying to get everyone's schedule. Listen, I love bashing the Patriots. I think this one was just kind of on the up and up.
Our Pats are getting flex out a lot of weeks coming up. I don't see any flex ins this season.
Pro Football Talk put out an article predicting it. Week 5, Dolphins at Patriots might be one of them.
Okay. So.
That could be a week where he gets it retired.
They also do have a primetime game. They are on Thursday Night Football at the Jets, week 3.
Right there.
At the Jets, though. They can't do that then.
Can't do it. No, that would not be
can't
a warm
do it in
welcome.
Jersey.
Jets would do it.
Right there.
That would not.
Look. Jets would do it.
Close enough. I'm with Pete. It's just up 95. Why not?
I would love to know what the crowd would be chanting at Brady for that one. And then they're in Europe. They played the Jacksonville Jaguars at 9:30 in the morning.
Ooh,
on NFL
do it there.
Network. Week 7.
Do it in Munich.
That's right.
I'm sure that Brady would love that.
Oh, okay. But they have They do have a ton of Fox games, though. They have.
They do.
Starting with week 2, Fox. Yeah. Oh, I think Fox loaded up their schedule with Patriots games so they could use Tom on them.
I would do week 4 at San Francisco.
Right, well, we're talking about the for a game, for
sure.
No, for
sure. A game for Brady. Yeah, yeah, not for the retirement.
If you want to
retire. Brady's hometown against a team that he made his name on.
It has to be that Sunday, October 6th game against the Dolphins because there's no other. That game is on Fox for no reason. Like an AFC versus AFC game should be on CBS, especially that early in the year. That game being on Fox now, it has to be that day.
Oh.
It has to be.
I like it. But you know what? He'll probably do the Patriots back-to-back because that Niners-Patriots, that'd be great too. Because Niners was the team that almost got Brady.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, that is.
Maybe we finally get the truth.
Yeah, that is, you know, I don't watch games for broadcasters. I would watch that one for Brady.
Well, maybe we finally get the answer to they're taking this bleeping guy over me.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
Was it Jimmy Garoppolo? Was it Derek Carr?
I forget. Was it Jimmy G in Vegas or was it Jimmy G in San Francisco?
Jimmy G in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Derek Carr in Vegas.
Derek Carr in Vegas.
Who ended up in New Orleans a year later anyway?
They should have went with Brady. No kidding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good point.
Didn't have to money quarterback that one. Anything else, Bogues?
No, I'm done with pants.
Okay, there you go. Brady's pants. And Bogish now going to go see HR for a second if you're really done with pants. Brady's pants go for 90 grand, and he's going to the Patriots Hall of Fame tomorrow. Okay, mentioned it. Got to get to it. Mike Tomlin, contract extension. Are Steeler fans happy about this or not? Get to that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Congratulations, Mike Tomlin gets a 3-year contract extension, Perloff. Welcome back to the show, by the way. Again, the tradition of Steelers head coaches being in stable spots. Yeah. Mike Tomlin's going to be starting year 18 with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I read this and I thought it was kind of interesting. I'm curious what Steeler fans think about this because Mike Tomlin obviously is one of the best coaches in the NFL. You had that survey that, you know, players only want to play for Mike Tomlin. And he obviously has the very impressive stat of never having a losing season in 17 years as the head coach of the Steelers and 11 trips to the playoffs. However, that's not really the whole story They also have not won a playoff game in their last five tries. They have not won a playoff game since 2016. And I think there is a thought by some of the fan base that, yes, Tomlin has got the most out of, at times, some mediocre rosters, but who's responsible for having those mediocre rosters? Because he does kind of touch the personnel side as well as the coaching side.
Does he?
Yes.
Well, regardless of that, I mean, they're... The one thing, generally, I would be kind of cynical if I was a Steelers fan because you're stuck in this limbo where you have winning records, but you're not making any noise in the playoffs. But they're on flat-out fire drafting. I mean, and I think it's a lot of Omar Khan, who seems to be, everything you hear about him, he's pretty hardcore. I mean, last year's draft was crazy good. Like one of the, maybe like one all-time Steelers draft. They got Joey Porter Jr. in the second round. There's a redraft. He's a number three pick in the entire NFL. And this year it looked like they did really, really well again. So they're getting a lot of young players. They just need a quarterback. I think you could win a Super Bowl with the right quarterback. I don't think they have it this year, in my opinion, with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. But they are really talented. I mean, they definitely have a lot of good players coming through that system.
So you think that Steeler fans should be really happy about this? This is a good day.
No, I don't know about that. I think Steeler fans, I think that they're drafting really well. That's all I will
say. But that's not, is that the coach? Maybe.
No, I think it's the GM. I don't think it's Tomlin. I think Tomlin is, I have no idea. I'm not in the building. But honestly, like, did Tomlin take Broderick Jones? Like, why is that a Tomlin move? Like, these don't feel like Tomlin's signature moves. Feels like Tomlin's strengths are relating to players and really playing good defense. The question, I think, that if I'm a Steelers fan, my biggest worry is this conservative style going to work? Can you win a Super Bowl with this?
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, I would think if you're 17 years in the building, you do have, you're involved somehow in the draft process. I don't think that it's such a separation of church and state that you just come in, you know, on Sunday after the draft is like, so who'd we get? You know, I can't imagine, because you're going to want the coach to have input on the type of player that it is, the type of personality that it is, all of that.
Also, he gets them in the building and makes them good, too. Like, who knows, if Joey Porter Jr. went to a bad coach, he might have not looked as good. And he gets a lot of flags. But regardless, like, yeah, maybe also it's a combination. See, to me, it'd be more like, okay, everybody, it's a team effort to draft them. Then Tomlin makes the defensive players look really good.
Sure.
Offensive players, not as much.
Well, and that's another part, I think, where Steeler fans might be frustrated. And listen, it's great to have stability at the head coaching position, no doubt about it. But Tomlin also is hiring his coaches and hiring offensive coordinators that I think have left a lot to be desired. And the other part of this, too, is I think Kenny Pickett, just by virtue of him being in the building, literally, and playing at Pittsburgh, I think everyone has to wear that, right? Like, if you wanted Kenny Pickett as your quarterback in the first round, who's now the backup to Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia, and that totally failed, doesn't everyone have to wear that? The coach, the GM, everyone kind of has to wear that failure. And to be honest, I think everyone in the building has to wear the failure of not having a Ben Roethlisberger successor, and not even, like, that process now taking way too long to find the next guy after Ben Roethlisberger. And to your point, I think these two options with Russell Wilson and with Justin Fields, neither of these feel like they're slam dunks either.
Well, at least one thing they do have, their flexibility. They could get out of both these guys immediately. They're basically free quarterbacks.
Sure, but who's going to play quarterback then?
Yeah, like, no,
I mean, get out of it, but then you need another person.
Well, they could draft somebody. You know, they can find. Now, one thing about wearing the Kenny Pickett, it's not like we all knew Kenny Pickett was a mistake. The guy had amazing numbers at Pitt.
But he didn't develop.
Right, but it wasn't like they picked him 21 or 20, 21. It turned out to be a bust. There's no doubt about it. But at the time, it wasn't like a crazy pick. It wasn't a reach by any means. And it wasn't the number one overall pick. When you say wear it, in my opinion, drafting a quarterback number one and having it not work out, that gets people fired. I think 21 is a little different. Do you buy that at least? Yes, you're right. They don't have a plan, but the Kenny Pickett's not enough to get you fired.
Yeah, but the fact that Kenny Pickett didn't develop is definitely on the coach.
It's on the well. Listen, you nailed it. Their offensive coaches have been terrible. Matt Canada did not work out. His play calling was awful.
Yeah, and Mike Tomlin wouldn't fire him when ownership had to step in.
There was a weird loyalty. Yeah, that was a huge flaw in Mike Tomlin last year. Is he clearly needed to switch the offensive game plan and did not. So I just think that there is a chance that they just overload that defense with talent and win a lot of games 17-10. And at some point, probably not this year, at some point, there is a chance that Tomlin gets another Super Bowl. Because, listen, with TJ Watts on the field, they're ferocious. I mean, that defense is crazy. They drafted a lot of offensive linemen this year. They seem to have another great draft. I think that they could find a way to get back to kind of think about early Ben, 2005, when they won a Super Bowl. That wasn't Ben Roethlisberger in the offense. That was the defense.
Sure.
So I think Tomlin, there's a formula where Tomlin could come away on top again. It's old school, and it's not what most teams are doing, but I think it could work. What do you think?
I think there are some faction of the Pittsburgh Steeler fan base that says that the Super Bowl that Tomlin won was Cowers players.
Yeah.
They lost another one to Aaron Rodgers. All right, no shame in that. That was just the Packers' time. And they really haven't sniffed it since, and especially in the last decade. And I can understand sort of feeling like, all right, what are we doing here? You know, and not that I'm saying there's an easy replacement. I'm not saying Mike Tomlin should be fired. I just can imagine there's maybe a collective like, all right, well, here we go again, because Tomlin has been outcoached in the playoffs by teams that they absolutely should have beaten. And I think that's frustrating for Steeler fans. I think it's very frustrating.
Yeah, they got a lot of wins, though. I mean, I'm looking at his year-by-year record.
That's always the gaudy thing.
That guy wins games.
And he wins games, and it's Duck Hodges, and it's God knows who. But again, how much it's like you coached up this mediocre roster, or offense, maybe, and how much are you even responsible for the fact that they are mediocre at times? And then the other part of it, too, it's not like the vibes have always been awesome. I know players want to play for Mike Tomlin. I get it. He seems like a straight shooter.
Yeah.
I understand that. But, you know, you have wide receivers who are scrubbing their Instagram. Like, they're not immune to the other problems that exist in the NFL with, negative headlines. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger came out last year and basically called out the entire culture on the offense.
Yeah. Well, also the wide receiver thing, don't they draft, quote unquote character guys? They know what they're doing here. Look at the guys they've had in that building. Nobody wanted to touch Antonio Brown coming out of the draft.
Yeah, look how that ended.
Yeah. No,
I mean,
I'm saying
really
like,
messy.
But they got a lot of production out of him. They do this thing where they took Martavis Bryant. I don't know if they actually did. They take Martavis Bryant. Like, nobody wanted him, and he was there. They have a lot of guys who fall in the draft piece of character, specifically a wide receiver. It's always been their strategy, and it's worked out. They get 3 years of production, and then it becomes a headache. And by the way, same with, I watched George Pickens play. I'm like, how is that guy in the second round? There must be something behind the scenes, because he's clearly a first-round talent.
Yeah, and he's had issues, because he's definitely been frustrated
been
with
unhappy.
The offense.
Yeah, he's unhappy, and I get it. I'm on his side. Throw him the football more. I never understood that at all. That being said, like, he's kind of like Liquid Terminator, Terminator 2. Tomlin has a way of winning. It's just the weirdest thing. I mean, last year, they had no right to be 10-7. No right at all. But Tomlin coached him up, and I think good, not great. That's what they're paying for. They're paying for good, not great. Is that okay?
Ask a Steeler fan. I would say no. But again, yeah. I don't think that they don't have the solution at quarterback. And Ben Roethlisberger held on there for too long. And they should have had a better plan in place. Hell, even Belichick, who I think the person we can compare Tomlin to, they don't have the rings, but in terms of longevity and staying one place for a long time. I mean, Belichick was drafting Jimmy Garoppolo in the second round to tick off Tom Brady. Like, they haven't found their successor yet either, but they've definitely tried a lot harder. I mean, the other part, too, is why was Mitchell Trubisky even in? Why was he even playing last year? Mason Rudolph was clearly the better quarterback.
Yeah. Well, Trubisky was an overall number. A lot of people made that Trubisky mistake.
Coaches, you have him in the building, though.
Yeah.
You can't be getting off on reputation when you watch him in practice every day.
Believe me, I'm not going to defend Mitchell Trubisky. Yeah. When it's 3rd and 9, he throws us an 8-yard pass, and even that's a little short. By the way, Big Ben in 2020 was 12-4, his second to last season. And yeah, they
do
did do
that.
Yeah, but I got to tell you,
this crazy start.
I remember Big Ben was losing his skill set, and he was still pretty darn good because they were still winning a ton of games. So, yeah, I don't fault. Sometimes teams rebuild. They've never had to rebuild. Like, they went from Ben to nobody and still are 10-7. So Tomlin's obviously doing something right. I totally understand what the Steelers are doing, especially if I'm the owner. To fire Mike Tomlin is tough. It's a really tough move. You have to admit that. That takes a lot of cojones. Maybe Robert Kraft could do it because he fired Bill Belichick, but Tomlin's a little younger. All makes sense to me.
I ask you this question, and Ryan, maybe we can put this up on Twitter at Maggie and Pearl, which is Mike Tomlin closer to winning another Super Bowl, or has he peaked? as a coach. The other part is, and I read this in The Athletic, where they cover the Steelers quite well, and he said, Tomlin, this is from two reporters who cover the team, Tomlin may not have a lifetime contract with the Steelers, but it's very close to being one. He will remain the Steelers head coach until he chooses he doesn't want to coach anymore, and that sure doesn't seem like anytime soon.
Right, so what's wrong with that? It used to be like that. Like, you know, that's how it has been in sports. When you have a successful coach, why are you going to fire him?
But who has a lifetime contract?
Well,
and who's determining what the definition of success?
Tom Landry had a lifetime contract until he didn't, but that took like 30 years.
Right, I know, but even he didn't. Belichick
did. But eventually,
did. Like,
eventually, the point is, people move on. Eventually, Tomlin's lifetime contract will run out. Yeah, he could have a Chuck Knoll run. He could have a...
He's having one.
Yeah, I mean, he could have a Bill Cowher run. He could... I'm not surprised he has a lifetime contract. The other thing about Tomlin, I wouldn't be surprised if he walked away on his own because he does seem to wear it pretty heavily. Like every year, man, by the end of the season, he looks like he's aged 5 years.
Well, then
he comes back and he's all energetic again.
Life in the NFL, 855-212-4227. I know we are on in Steeler country. Curious how the fan base is reacting. Probably not surprised, of course. You don't want him going into the season as a lame duck coach because then he's got to answer questions about it all the time. That can be a distraction.
Yeah, they have enough distractions in that building with the quarterback situation.
No doubt.
That might be part of it. Maybe they're like, let's at least stabilize this.
Coming up, what's next for both the Lakers and for Dan Hurley? Get the thoughts of Jordan Cornette next. It's Maggie Perloff. Don't move.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.